It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I see the family getting in here for a little Sunday night chat. The sit down with yours truly is live, October 23rd, 2022. Much love, as always. And as we say once in a while, grab life by the meatballs. Grab them by the meatballs. Yeah, I'm a little pissed. Here in New York, there's a guy running for governor, Lee Zeldin. I'm sure a lot of you have heard this guy before. My father was actually hanging out with him last night, and my father emailed me a picture that I forgot to download and share with everyone. So I will get that in the computer in a few moments. You know, remember, he hung out with Eric Adams, you know, who's on the opposite side of the aisle, and now Lee Zeldin. But I think Lee Zeldin has a legit shot to become governor of New York. I you look at Hochul. Yeah, she came in because of what happened with Cuomo getting outed. But I think overall New Yorkers are not happy with Hochul overall. I don't pay attention to politics anymore. I mean, I keep myself aware of what's going on, but what a dramatic turn, you know, for my attitude overall. And meanwhile, as I was saying that, I was downloaded the photo. So there you go. That's my dad on the left, you know, with Lee Zeldin and one of my dad's friends on the right. They were hanging out yesterday in Rockaway. So yeah, there you go. All right, anyway, you don't give a shit about that. We're going to talk tonight about whatever's on your mind. For anybody that might be new to the sit down, if you're live, if you are active in the chat room, you can help dictate what we talk about for the next 60 minutes or so. If you are on the archive or the replay, sit down, relax, put on your headgear, and you could basically hear us discuss, you know, whatever topics are on everybody's mind. Now, if you want to post a question in the chat room, before your question, put in capital letters question. If you have a comment you want to share with everyone and you want me to reiterate, put comment in capital letters. If you super chat, obviously, you go to the front of the line. That's only fair. And I see a few of them came in already. And I tell you, I did not even know about this. Look, I know it's not wrestling related, but I'm sure there's a boatload of you that have baseball on their mind. Just Joe, with just a baseball question. Thoughts on the Phillies going to the World Series? What do they have, like 87, 88 wins? Never, ever thought the Phillies on the radar to be in a World Series. Good for them. Good for them. I mean, I think we all pretty much feel it's going to be the Astros versus the Phillies. And I personally think, you know, just me, if that ends up being the World Series for this year, I think the Astros are going to beat the shit out of the Phillies. I think the Phillies may get one game if they're lucky. Look, if the Phillies win it all, good for them, man. Good for them. Talking about, you know, exceeding expectations and overplaying right now, they got hot at the right time. And, you know, I've always been a fan of Bryce Harper. I like his attitude. I like his game. I like his play. It's amazing how many years he's already been in the league. But you know what? I like to see Bryce Harper get a ring this year. That's just me. But, you know, well, I'm still pissed off that our Mets fucked up as much as they did. Just think about that. 100 wins and they didn't go to the division series. I mean, I know that's kind of like a skewed statistic since wild card only started in the 90s, you know, but still, that's horrendous. DeGrom and Scherzer should have been this year's Schilling and Johnson. If you remember 2001 with the Diamondbacks, you know, I tell you, we were playing Captain Lenny audio here on these shows a couple of months ago. And one of the things was him predicting the 2001 World Series. And it kind of blows me away that it's been over 20 years with some of that audio that I have captured. So I'm going to one day put in a big file and send it to Brian Last and Jim Cornette, because they know who Captain Lenny is. And they know he is a fucking nut job. And it's kind of odd, the audio that I have compiled over the years, those wacky messages that he left. So anyway, let's continue the conversation. Let's answer a couple other super chats. I see one that came in that's kind of deep, so I think we'll save that for a little bit later. Ronnie C, thoughts on AEW sending takedown requests on YouTube and Twitter to a lot of hate accounts? Good. 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 You know, I mean, it's freedom of speech. Absolutely. But, you know, some people, I think, try to take it a little bit further. And, you know, the best way I could describe this, look, I know some of you are immediately disagreeing with me, but I'll say it like this. Freedom of speech, it's got to be equal across the board. Whether you like, dislike, even, but think about politics. Think about COVID. Think about the election from a couple of years ago. When people post something that is classified as fake news, you know, Twitter flags it. Facebook flags it. YouTube will take it down. So when someone shows up, I saw one the other day that I saw Ringside News get their panties in a bunch, and I don't give a fuck about Ringside News. Honestly, they could go pick up Brad Shepard and fall off the short cliff for all I care. But they were bitching about some guy on social media who recorded footage of AEW in New York to show the poor turnout. The problem is that footage was so early, that, you know, it really posted a narrative that was misleading. Plus, part of that building was intentionally blocked off. And you put that on there to try to hurt AEW's, you know, credibility. If it's fake news, if it's exaggerated, distorted, if AEW wants to waste their time fucking with those people, go ahead. Go ahead. Seriously. Get mad at Twitter for taking it down. Get mad at Twitter. Appeal it. Appeal it. Because I guarantee everyone, there's a lot of people online, you say something even remotely negative about them, and it's like the end of the world. It's like you kicked their dog and backed up and kicked them again. So, yeah, I'm fine. If AEW, anybody, puts a request in and the company, Twitter, YouTube, takes it down, good. Good. Take note. Take note. Whenever we talk about stuff, we made fun about Impact Wrestling. Where is the lie? And we may, but, you know, there's a way of going about it. And, you know, nothing is altered, distorted. You know, we show it and we comment about it. It's freedom of speech. I don't get shit taken down. Why? Why? You think I'm... Did I do that right? I think I did that right. We used to do that in school, grammar school. We'd be saying, all right, we got to keep this TV-14, everyone. I just think somebody in their 50s is literally sitting here going like this. Something's wrong. All right. Let's spend some time in the chat room. What's on your mind, everyone? What's on your mind? Tony Khan bringing back the right to center stuff like, no. Listen, people need to understand something too. And this is legit. AEW is extremely fucking slow when it comes to takedown requests. Plus, AEW does not have they're not in the same place as WWE when it comes to takedown requests. And a little behind the scenes that a lot of you may not know this. You know, there's algorithms on YouTube that are not just audio, but it's video. And if you post something and that the algorithm picks up, let's say you got 10 seconds of video or 10 seconds of audio. Now, I'll give you a good example. About a month ago, there was a request something I had showed on SmackDown. I can't remember what it was. It might have been something with Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre. Oh, I know what it was. It was the first time that they showed the White Rabbit on TV. The first time. A lot of people didn't realize that the White Rabbit was only a social media thing. The first night that they showed the White Rabbit teasing for Extreme Rules, I played 15 seconds of it. I didn't even play audio. And it still got questioned. And I sent in the response. They didn't take it down. You know, no big deal. Because what happens is with WWE, they submit this to YouTube right away. Okay, here's our show. If any part of our show is copied, then YouTube takes it down. It's an algorithm. Remember, when you watch something, when you hear something, it's a digital file. It's a series of what, ones and O's or dot, whatever the fuck it is. So that's how they pick it up. AEW is not, you know, that advanced where they're just, they don't, put it this way, they don't just send YouTube their latest episode of Dynamite and say, here, YouTube, if anybody copies it, take it down. No, YouTube does not have the algorithm that automatically matches it. What someone has to do in AEW is they have to go back maybe weeks, months, days later and tell YouTube, this channel is using our footage. This channel is showing this. This channel is doing that. And then YouTube will trust AEW that they're telling the truth, and then they'll notify the YouTuber. That's how it works. So why do you think, like, sometimes for some of you out there that may stream something on YouTube, within a few minutes of putting it out there, you may get an episode that's not monetized or something, because it matches something that's digitally already in the system at YouTube. YouTube makes a lot of money off of WWE. They don't make anywhere close with AEW. You know, I know some people refuse to accept that, but that is the truth. So that's why some places get taken down, and some it may take a very long time. Rocky Red, if bought out, do I look at CM Punk's comeback and run in AEW as a failure? Would I put it past Triple H to bring him back to WWE despite his past, despite Tony Khan, like they did with Cody? All right, first of all these people that are claiming that Triple H is interested in bringing back Punk. Wade Keller, once again, just showing that he is obviously dead in the media world. You know, backstage sources tell us that there's influential names, one big name that will refuse to bring CM Punk back. You click on the article, they don't even say who it is. Or they tease Vince McMahon. Or they assume that Triple H may be willing because Triple H has mended fences with so many people over the years. You know, these people don't have any fucking connections. They don't. They know that WWE is not going to call them out on their bullshit. Everything they post is assumption. It's guessing. You know, and I don't mind people guessing. I don't mind people giving their analysis. But when they claim, our source told us, or one of our sources behind the scene, fuck you, you liars. Nobody out there knows it, that Triple H, if he would bring Punk back or not. Nobody knows. You fucking think you think Triple H just says it to Jose in the catering that just happens to have a friend on social media? Get the fuck out of here. We have to try to guess and assume. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Now, my assumption is that I could see Triple H bringing back CM Punk with a heavy, heavy, heavy claw, a contract filled with clauses. Filled with clauses. I think CM Punk has a lot of bitterness for WWE because of what happened in the past. CM Punk holds a grudge and, you know, some bridges have been broken, and very rare do you see any of those bridges mended. And I think CM Punk may be, content with not going back to WWE. But CM Punk is money. You know, understand this, everyone. You know, you're starting to see the crumbs being given back to the pigeons. Somebody brought to my attention today a tweet that Danny Cage had posted, and I followed Danny Cage, and I looked at it, and he was calling out a certain newsletter for claiming that AEW has stopped using three women who are very close to Thunder Rosa. Remember what we said early on. There's a certain group of people within AEW that rub the EVPs the wrong way. And they send these little crumbs to certain journalists out there because they'll just throw it out there anonymously. And Danny Cage basically took that writer to task and said, who the fuck told you this? That's classless. You never verified it. That's fucked up. And it is fucked up. So CM Punk, regardless of how bad this relationship has ended up so far with AEW, he has made crazy money for AEW. Top shirts sold, and these shirts are not cheap. $1 million gates, pay-per-view buys. What about the fucking Upper Deck card? I still have, I think, 40 of them, you know, that I was going to give away or resell. CM Punk has a lot of worth still in wrestling. The question is, does someone want to risk what could come with that? Now, let's put it this way. In a world of WWE where there is, you know, some questionable people backstage for years and years and years, you know, people don't like certain people behind the scenes. You know, these people have been instilled there for years, if not decades, and yet wrestlers still would sign with WWE. When WWE started doing mass releases in 2020 because the stock started to go down. By the way, you know, how come nobody brings up that maybe one of the reasons like Triple H is hiring some added people is not because he wants to put his footprint in there, or maybe just the fact that the stock is the highest it's been since, oh, I don't know, 2020? I mean, remember 2019? The stock was near $100 a share. WWE signed about 60 people. Go back and look and see how many people WWE signed in 2019 and up to 2020. Go even 2018, but mostly 2019. When you see it, it'll blow your mind. So understand that as long as the stock is doing well, you'll see people hired. But when they started releasing 50 people, 40 people, and then you got this dumb narrative, how dare you release people during COVID? How dare you release people during a pandemic? The fucking publicly traded company. Ain't gonna do what's based on morals, yet people still were signing. Remember when Roxanne Perez signed with WWE? And that was right at the time where everybody said, anybody that signs with WWE right now, you're out of your fucking mind. Roxanne Perez signs the deal, Roxy, and everybody kept their mouth shut. Why didn't they say anything? Because they know deep down inside, it's a business. And these wrestlers that sign, they know what they're getting themselves into. So CM Punk, of course there's risk with CM Punk, but there's also risk within WWE. You know, promises are made sometimes within WWE. I guarantee you some promises were made to Karrion Kross. I guarantee you some promises were made to Hit Row. Some promises were made to some others that were brought back. But maybe not every promise is kept, not because not anything nefarious happened, but because WWE, you know, it's dictated by the fans. It's dictated by, you know, how momentum leads them. And CM Punk has still got a lot of worth. So if CM Punk were to leave AEW, yeah, I could see him possibly going back to WWE. But we don't know what the buyout is going to involve. The buyout may say you can't go to WWE for 2 years. You know, maybe, you know, there is no buyout. You know, once we know something's official, then we could comment on it. But CM Punk definitely is worth. Definitely is worth. All right, let's continue. I know that was a little bit of a drawn out question, but I think that probably answered quite a few of you out there. I see a lot of Punk questions coming in. Noob! What's up, Noob? Do I think Asuka will come back prior to Survivor Series? Yes, I do. And will she feud with Io Sky at WrestleMania 39? Io Sky versus Asuka WrestleMania 39. No, I don't see that. Maybe if there's a tag team title involved, maybe if there is a ladder match involved, maybe if there's multiple opponents involved. Io Sky and Asuka is a match we would have loved to have seen in NXT. Io Sky versus Asuka one-on-one is a fantasy match for a lot of fans out there, especially fans of Japanese women's wrestling. But as far as right now, amongst the masses, the WWE Universe, I don't think there's a lot of people clamoring, like, I got to see Asuka versus Io Sky. I think people out there just want to see Asuka back. And even if she does come back, you know, is she going to leapfrog Bianca? No. Is she going to leapfrog Charlotte Flair? No. Is she going to leapfrog Sasha when she returns? No. Is she going to leapfrog Rhea Ripley right now? No. Is she going to leapfrog? There's about 10 women. That's why I've said for a while, I don't want to see Mandy Rose go to the main roster right now. How's she going to overcome so many people that are being used right now? So as much as I would love to see that match, I don't see that. You know where I see that? If WWE goes to Japan, that could be a match on a card in Japan. I think we will see that match on Raw. I think we will definitely see that match on Raw. But it's not a match that it's going to be a feud leading to WrestleMania. I would be shocked. Shocked if that's a WrestleMania match. Tristan, in my opinion, who is better, Tupac or Biggie? I have made it no secret, I was never a fan of Tupac Shakur when he was alive. I appreciated his music after he was deceased. You know, I knew people who knew Tupac, not close. They were just in the music industry. And, you know, Tupac came off as very, very flamboyant. Biggie, you know, I never met either one of them. Let me make that clear. Biggie, I liked his music, man. No, I can't do it. Can't do it right. I have to hear the music first. You know, it's a shame that both were taken out the way they did. And it's amazing how many years have gone by. Makes you wonder, you know, what, you know, how much different music would have changed if they still would have been around. Me, as far as a personal preference, I like Biggie Smalls 1,000 times more than Tupac. But, you know, I will not deny it. I started admiring Tupac's work after he died. After he died, and then I really started to see how great he was. When he got shot the first time in New York City, I had a friend of mine that was a DJ, not, you know, the one I always talk about, you know, that's a personal friend of mine, but I had another person who was a DJ that, you know, worked with a company that put out twice as good records that we've talked about before. And they were in the offices, I think the day before or something like that. And how that shit went down when they went into the building and fucking by the elevator and, oh, crazy shit, man. Crazy shit. Shout out to D-Boss Stick. Why are you missing my voice? Got tens of thousands of hours of content online. Tens of thousands of content. But welcome back. Welcome back. Kelvin Milwaukee. Was wondering my thoughts on a potential nickname. Yeah, no, you gotta go check out Patreon. We had a lot of fun with that. You know, he came up with a name a while back for me. Instead of Claudio, you know, like, hey, you know, like Don Tony, like I'm audio Castagnoli. Get it? Or the animal DTista. People have come up with good ones. You know, but me, Abul Shita, it will always be my favorite. When Frank Goodman refused to use it for an Indian character in USA Pro Wrestling, I kept the name for myself. Abul, A-B-U-L, that was one of my names doing the hotlines back then. Abul, A-B-U-L, Shita, S-H-E-T-T-A-H. Abul Shita. A bullshitter. Now, it's funny because he didn't use that name. He thought it was a little bit over the top, but he used Gandhi Rhea Akbar, like gonorrhea. King of Games, shout out to you. Sending a 5-spot. Do I think anything could ever be done to stop false reporting from wrestling sites? Would things just get worse? you got to cut off their money supply. That's how it stops. That's how it's, it'll never stop. It hasn't stopped. It's been around since the 90s. It's back then it was pop-up ads. Now it's, you know, twisted any way you can, you know, to try to get patrons, try to get subscriptions, try to get subscribers. And listen, it's up to the individual person, because with all due respect, how many people did shows this weekend and put as the big teaser, Triple H interested in bringing back CM Punk? That's an assumption. That's a guess. That's an opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. But 99% of those people are putting it out there as news, as everybody comments on it. Look at the Bray Wyatt stuff with the Wyatt Six. Everybody, Grayson Waller, Joe Gacy, Liv Morgan, or Alexa Bliss, and this and that. You know, they don't have a fucking clue. Now we get Uncle Howdy, and I'm blown away that I may be the only person that thought it was a mask. They thought it was a mask. But now people are like, oh, who's Uncle Howdy? Now we don't know. We don't know. I think it's Bray Wyatt's mind. Visual. A visual look inside his mind. We're seeing it on the screen. It could end up being a physical person. It should be a physical person in the end. You know why? Uncle Howdy should be a physical person. Even though I say right now I think it's a visual representation of Bray Wyatt. You know why it should be a physical person? Because this is wrestling. And at the end of the day, Bray Wyatt's got to fight people. So if you bring Uncle Howdy to life, Bray Wyatt is somebody he could beat the fuck out of. Just like everybody wanted Sister Abigail to be a real person back in the day. I don't think any of us wanted it to be Bray Wyatt with a veil over his head, you know, cross-dressing. So as far as those websites, you know, you got to stop putting financial worth in their pockets. And eventually they'll just realize they ain't making the money. People ain't falling for the shit anymore. And then it'll force them to either opine like I do, do an opinion show like I do. And, you know, maybe they do get a little thing here and there. The problem is that everybody is racing to be the first one to throw something out there. You know, oh, WrestleVotes reported this 3 months ago. Look, I could fucking report now. Something. That's what we did in July and August for Sausage. Every single thing we put out there ended up happening. Do you notice that 99% of those websites never gave any of us credit? No. Why? Because we're not in that clique. We're not in that inner circle. How is it that, you know, we keep getting things? So the problem is there's too many wrestling fans out there that don't care if it's true or not. They don't care if it's fake news. Triple H has told nobody that he's interested in bringing CM Punk back. Yet 99% of the shows this weekend reported it as news. And what did people do? They clicked on it. They watched it, listened to it, whatever format these people do. So this will never go away. It'll never go away until people take away people's money supply. Because believe me when I tell you, I have people that ask me all the time, DT, you know, what can I, any advice? In fact, somebody sent me one the other day. Any advice as far as being a podcaster? My honest opinion, be yourself. Be yourself. If you don't have sources, then do an opinion show. Opine. Give your thoughts. If you look, if people value your opinion, then they will listen to it. You can't force people to listen to it. You can't trick them into listening to it. You know, and the thing is, it takes a very long time, could take years before you get a following. The biggest mistake I see people doing today with podcasts, especially podcasts, whether it's video, audio, or combination, is they're thinking about dollar signs before thinking about reputation, before thinking about building an audience. You know, I still get people to this day to try to rub it into my face. Oh, DT, your show on YouTube only gets 3,000 views. What about the 17,000 audio downloads last week? What about the 9,000 on Pro Wrestling TV? What about this? So when you add it all together, you know, you see where it goes. You can't let that get in your mind. You got to just do your thing, be yourself, and if people want to tune in, they will. But it's not going to happen overnight, and a lot of people out there do it strictly because they think that it's easy money. That, oh, they can just report this. They can cut and paste stuff. They can do this. They can do that. And there's so many people out there that have done it. You know, look at Patreon. I never realized that when I have my Patreon since 2015. And I think at the time there was only three other wrestling Patreons that were in existence. Only three. Now there are hundreds, if not thousands, of wrestling Patreons. And, you know, how do you keep people from, you know, subscribing? You have to give them extra content, or you have to give them, you know, content library stuff that, and whatever it is, you have to stand out, but understand that you're doing something that thousands of other people are doing as well. I personally think that if you don't have connections, if you don't have sources, you might be able to get away with it for a little while, but eventually you get outed because you get greedy and you don't know where the line should be, where you should not cross it. That's why I did the sausage thing. That's why I purposely wrote sausage before certain posts, because as I told all of you back then, that these posts are just to show everyone how easy it is to claim news reporting and breaking news. And I threw so much shit out there, from Vince McMahon at the Hall of Fame to, you know, Vince texting Brock and all this stuff. And all of it ended up being true. And that just goes to show you. So I could go down that rabbit hole, but I just eventually get caught. You know, there's a lot of fake out there, but it'll never go away. It'll never go away. Chaos, shout out to you. When he does a podcast or a show, he doesn't care if nobody listens. He does it for stress relief. Oh, yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. I have friends of mine that do podcasts that have 10 viewers. You do it because it makes you happy. You do it because it's a stress relief. You do it because it's an escape. Shit, back in the day, when I started my hotline, you know, I wouldn't even listen to myself. You do it because you have fun doing it. And, you know, it may catch on to something bigger and better. You ever think I would be doing this? You know, think about that. In the entire wrestling world, I am not the oldest, but the longest running podcaster. Going back to 97. You know, back in 1999 and 2000, I had this idea, this crazy idea, to take my hotline reports that were on my telephone and putting them in my computer and putting it on the net for everybody to enjoy. And that's why people claim that I might be one of the first to even ever have a webcast. You know, some people have told me to make that claim. There's Wayback Machine, you know, pages going back to 2000 to back that up. But never in a million years. I started doing my hotline because of my car accident and because of my relationship issues at the time and because of, you know, probably mental health, a little bit of depression. But I loved wrestling and I loved talking about it. And when I used to talk to a lot of other hotlines out there, they would always shout me out and they would always really get deep into shit that I would leave on their voicemails. And then I became a guest on a hotline and a guest on another hotline, and other people heard it. And then people would come back and say, wow, he was really good. You got to bring him on again. And then I don't remember who said it to me. Somebody said to me, why don't you start your own? That's why when Black Jack Brown passed away earlier this year, you know, my love for him, because in 2000, he wanted me to do a 900 number. Lord knows what would have happened at that time. So, you know, you just got to be yourself, have fun. Don't think about, you know, breaking the bank. Don't think about, just do your thing. If it's meant to get bigger, it will. If it's not, you tried. It's always best to try than not try at all. It's one of the things that I regret over the last 15 years. I regret stopping doing the indie wrestling managing myself. I regret stopping going to the wrestling school. I regret not pursuing Sirius XM when they were looking into it, that they wanted us to consider it. I regret not doing AM radio when it was offered. I regret a lot of things, but I can't change it. So I can only do what I go forward. And you always got to show respect to your audience. My honest number one advice I could give to each and every one of you out there, if you ever decide to do this, or if you're a guest somewhere, or if you just want to put things out there, always talk to your audience. Don't talk at your audience. There is a huge difference. When I'm talking right now, I'm talking to Kevin Milwaukee. I'm talking to Benjamin. I'm talking to Chaos. I'm talking to Danny 310. I'm talking to Tristan Sloan. I'm talking to Debo Stick. I'm talking to Mo Words. I'm talking to all of you individually. Talking at you is just me ranting. And whether you're listening or not, I'm going to say the same thing. Just me throwing a rant out there, putting it out there, and whether you tune in or not, whether you agree or disagree, it don't fucking matter because I'm going to say what I'm going to say and that's it. That's talking at people. You want to talk to people. So that's number one commandment in my book. Talk to people. That's why, look, you know, I guess we could bring this up now because I will incorporate a little wrestling with this. Lascelles Williams, he wants me to reflect on 2022 a bit personally. Nothing deep, just an overall take on 2022. Keep up the great work. Can't wait for your episode with JD. Well, the episode's coming up quick. Next Thursday. Next Thursday. It's happening. November 3rd. It's going to be wild, man. It's going to be wild. I'm going to send the link to JD later this week. He'll pick out a couple of questions from that were sent in. I'll pick out a few as well. We'll definitely take live ones. We're going to be doing super chats, all that stuff. We're going to have an epic episode. As far as 2022 goes, you know, I'll say this. For me personally, obviously, getting married, you know, having some changes, pro wrestling TV, Blue Wire. I mean, that's still mind-boggling. Still mind-boggling that Blue Wire a year ago approached yours truly and said, we want the Don Tony Show on our network. And you go to Blue Wire's website. Look at the shows that it is. There's only 6 or 7 wrestling shows. Gallows and Anderson, Sam Roberts, Chris Van Vliet, now JD from New York, who they've signed also, which is awesome. You know, I can't remember the other guy that's with best friend, Roppongi Vice. Like, I looked at it, and I'm like, why? Why me? You know? And at the time, I think a lot of people thought, oh, they're just going to sign a whole bunch. They've only signed 2 people the whole year, me and JD. And then Pro Wrestling TV, a brand new wrestling network. And I've been offered to do some big projects and to get involved with some wrestlers. I don't want to give anything away, but some who are currently in AEW right now. You know, so personally for me, it's been great. But as far as overall the wrestling world goes, it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. And I'm going to say something now that's going to be so fucked up. And it's not meant to sound fucked up, but it's the only way I could say it. You could have 50 Hana Kimuras. You could have 20 Daphnes. I love Daphne. I pay tribute. Look, I pay tribute to her every day. She was a very special person to me. You can have family members within wrestling companies die. You could have people die tragically. You could have people down on their luck. You have people that get diagnosed with cancer. You could get people who get assaulted. You could have mental health. It's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. And the problem is there ain't no tragedy that's going to straighten people out. There ain't no kumbaya moment that's going to straighten people out. You know, you can, you know, like we're all happy. Bray Wyatt's back. We're all happy that pro wrestling is better than what it was 5 years ago. We're all happy that Vince McMahon is out. We're all happy that AEW is doing somewhat decent. We're all happy about wrestling. We're a lot happier now as wrestling fans. But at the core, inside, none of that changes. It's never going to change, everyone. There's no magic bullet out there. There's no magic incident out there. That is the only way this shit changes is when people's accounts start getting suspended, terminated immediately for outrageous shit. You know, and that's not going to happen because, you know, it's beyond pro wrestling. It's just the life itself. You know, it's funny. I've talked about this for years, about the pussification of America. It's beyond that now. But here's something else. And this is something that really, really gets to me. You know, like, my father could be on his deathbed. My mom could be on a deathbed. You know, I could get diagnosed with whatever. We're not going to go there tonight. I could get married. I could get divorced. I could have five kids. I could get hit by a car. I could buy a car. I could give away cars like Oprah. And the outside community, wrestling world, if you're not in their inner circle, they could give a rat's ass if you live, die, get married, get killed, get cancer, family members, you know, just human stuff. You know, you just like, hey, my condolences. Hey, congratulations. Hey, you know, prayers for you. Even if you don't know the person personally, you do it because it just makes that person feel that, wow, somebody cares. They don't know me, but they care. Yet, every time something happens within their inner circle, it's like the end of the world. It's like the world freezes, stands still. Pray for my friend. Pray for me. Pray for that. Condolences here. Go fund me this. Go fund me that. Da, 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 this, that. Everybody's got to stop. And honestly, when you realize that a tweet takes 5 seconds, that a DM takes 15 seconds, not even an email, not even a phone call, not even a handwritten letter. When a tweet, a DM, a comment, Facebook reply takes 5 seconds and none of those people ever take a moment outside of the inner circle and make somebody feel well. And then when something happens to them, they want the world to stand still. I have come to the point where I just feel I don't give a fuck anymore. I care and I show sympathy and I help who I can. I don't give a fuck anymore. And most recently, Sarah Lee passed away at 30 years old. I put the GoFundMe out there. I had two people personally that knew her contact me and thank me for what you all did and I did. And I never put it on the show because it wasn't about me. It was about her. I'm making my point here. I decided that I'm not going to put on social media, hey, any super chats that are generated that weekend, I'm going to match it. We're going to give it to the GoFundMe. I didn't put that on social media. I said if anybody else wants to post it, go right ahead, but I'm not. Because when I posted a comment on YouTube letting everybody know, and I wanted people to know because I didn't want anybody to feel, hey, I'm giving DT a super chat so he could buy a coffee. I didn't give it to him so he could give it to somebody's family. I know that sounds cold, but people do that. As soon as I put it on YouTube, I had a bunch of people saying, oh, you're just using the Sarah Lee situation to get more eyes on your show. And I was like, man, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. And that's why you can't even sometimes do good, because there's always someone out there trying to find the worst about it to bring you down. So honestly, at this point in my life, I don't give a shit anymore. I care about me. I care about her. I care about my family. I care about my friends. I care about all of you. I care about my extended family out there, even brothers from other mothers, people that I've never even had the opportunity to meet in person yet. People in wrestling, people outside of wrestling. I care about them. But for those other people out there, you know, I don't put myself out there. I don't focus on them anymore. Because when it comes to you and me and others, you know, they don't even spend 5 seconds to try to make someone out there feel better. You know how sad it is? You know how sad it is? How many times I read on social media, some of you out there that'll tweet to a wrestler, hey, look, you know, my mom is very ill right now. She loves you as a wrestler. You know, if you could just maybe just send a little tweet, you know, just wishing her a speedy recovery. 99 times out of 100, it never gets answered. Why? Because most of these people with blue check marks, they have a setting where they don't even see what we write. They only see what other blue check marks write. And sometimes some people remove that setting for a little while, but that's why when you notice some people that you really, 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 you know, idolize or follow, you'll see them only respond to other blue check marks out there. You know, they could play the game and sell it like they care about everybody out there. But I watch 99 times out of 100, all of you and others out there who have legitimate things going on, you know, just a little pick me up. And most of those people don't even know that you wrote it, because as far as their settings are concerned, you know, they may have 1 million followers, but there's only about 100 people that they see on their feed, or unless they vanity search themselves. They vanity search themselves. Iman, you want to know something? Tony Khan, it's not fair to single him out. Not everybody does that, but Tony Khan does respond to people. Tony Khan actually does DM regular wrestling fans sometimes. You know, I have never had the opportunity of getting a comment from him. But no, some people do. I don't want anybody to think that everybody does that, but a majority of people do that. So looking back at 2022, the culture has gotten worse. The culture has gotten worse. I still think back last year with Keith Lee and Mia Yim. When they revealed what happened with Keith Lee, I still remember Mia Yim's tweet. Going forward, can we be a little better? That lasted about 3 weeks, and people were right back to the same shit. Malakai Black, I don't blame him anymore. When he said that he requested his release and then said, didn't say, he said he didn't request release, I think his mind got all scrambled with the bullshit going online. You know, and other wrestlers get off social media, you know, because of this stuff. The culture has gotten worse, and it's going to continue getting worse. And unfortunately, everyone, a suicide, an earthquake, a tornado, a mass shooting, a kid shooting, a death, a tragedy. Doesn't matter. Everybody sends the kumbaya hearts, prayers, you know, whatever. And then 3 weeks later, right back to what they were before. You know, people just go through the motions to get themselves, you know, out there on paper. Hey, somebody died. You haven't seen them in 20 years. You find out that 99% of the neighborhood and your relatives went to see the person. You're the only person that didn't go to the funeral. Do you give a fuck about the person? No. Do you want to go to the funeral? No. Why do you go to the funeral? So people don't look back and say, that motherfucker, Anthony, he's the only one that didn't show up. So you go, you make your presence, and like, oh, good, that's over with. We've all been there. I've been to funerals that I have no desire in going to, but I got to go. I got to go. Same thing with social media. You know, early on, when I first got engaged, you saw it. We talked about it. There's a handful of people online that absolutely, I can't believe how angry they are at me when good things happen to yours truly. You would have thought that, you know, I assaulted someone in their family. And I don't mean with my fist. You know, it's just mind-boggling. And you do little tests. You put a little thing out there, and then some people, over and over again. Oh, I wasn't online for 3 days. Oh, I just saw this now. It's because it's the same thing. Oh, everybody else showed up at the funeral. Now I got to fucking show up. Otherwise, everybody's going to realize I'm the only one that didn't show up. So, worry, listen, everyone. I know this sounds selfish, but believe me when I tell you, it's probably the best advice I can give to all of you out there. Worry about yourselves. Worry about your family. Worry about the people that you care about. Even if it's people you've never met in person. You know, treat others how you want to be treated. You know, somebody disrespects you, if a stranger disrespects you, if a cop disrespects you, if somebody in a restaurant disrespects you, if an owner of a store disrespects you, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just continue treating people the way you want to be treated. Care about yourself and the people you care about first. And that doesn't mean fuck everyone else, but let those people be. Because those people are never going to change. It's only going to get worse. And it's way beyond wrestling. You know, we talk about the journalist stuff. We talk about, you know, the pigeons. I use the term pigeons now. And I'm going to keep using that term so people know. You know, and you could see when pigeons are given little crumbs from people in wrestling, most noticeably lately, the EVPs, Kenny Omega, Young Bucks. They're not the only ones. I don't want to single out anybody else, but you know the other people who work behind the scenes in AEW who somehow get TV time a little bit too much. I think you could figure out quite a few people right now. And yeah, they're ones giving crumbs as well. And you see, when they want to throw shade at Malakai Black, they will. They want to throw shade, make sure CM Punk's foot is out the door, even if he doesn't want to leave. They're going to do it. They don't like Thunder Rosa. They don't like her attitude. They're going to do it. They don't like Eddie Kingston. They don't like someone else. They're going to do it. You're going to see little things thrown online. You could figure it out. So that's never going to change. So as long as you don't focus on them, you'll have a much better time online. Tristan, Gatorade or Powerade? Gatorade. I don't know, it's something about lemon Gatorade that I like. Sometimes when I get under the weather, I kind of like looking forward to getting like a quart of Gatorade. And for some reason, I don't know why, maybe because when I used to play sports when I was younger, you got to always drink it in one shot. Like you can't buy like one of these things of lemon Gatorade and you just put a cup next to you and just take little sips. No, you got to chug that thing down. Chug it so fast that your stomach hurts even more. Okay, let's see. I see in a vlog, DFM, thank you for the two spot, my friend. Do I enjoy Dark Side of the Ring? No, I don't. I did binge watch about a year or two ago some episodes, and I personally think that they fell into the trap. You know, they decided to be smut. Dirt. They decided to be, you know, just let's find, you know, especially how they, you know, manipulated Tommy Dreamer's response to make it even more fucked up. You could realize when you watch that clip, when Tommy Dreamer is talking about Ric Flair, you could imagine in your mind somebody who works behind the scenes at Dark Side of the Ring that had a mindgasm, that had an orgasm. When they knew the minute that was said, holy fuck. Oh my fucking God. It could have been better. You know, I felt the Fabulous Moolah stuff is really where they went, started going off track. Moolah has been accused of a lot of things. Understand, back in the 50s, I know it doesn't make it better, but back in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, you know, with women's wrestling, if you didn't have a strong connection or somebody that literally had monopoly, you know, Moolah had monopolized, you know, and you didn't give her a little cut, you know, you weren't getting in. That's just the way it is. You know, people forget that the wrestling business as a whole at that time was a very, very tight-knit community. Jim Cornette talks about it all the time. No one got their foot in the door unless they broke down rings, did this, tried this. Or you didn't just get in because you had a friend of a friend of a friend, you know. So women had it much, much worse at that time. But there's a reason why the McMahons, Stephanie and all of them, always look at Fabulous Moolah as grandma. Fabulous Moolah is beloved in the wrestling world. But they can't make that public anymore because, obviously, the negative stuff that's been put out and exaggerated and, you know, little falsities added onto it. Very easy to manipulate facts when most of the people are dead now. Nobody could call you out on it. So Dark Side of the Ring, in my opinion, I saw its potential, but I personally think once they went down that path, you know, let's just step on, you know, people are already down. Let's try to just trigger that. Nah. Dream, how do I know it's fake? Because you look at 50 years of history and facts, and then you look at 6 months or an interview, a podcast interview, after everybody is dead. You know, I look at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of wrestlers talking about it, journalists covering it, people who went through it. And then 50 years later, somebody comes out of the blue that Moolah did this to me. This wasn't no a Me Too Moolah movement. This was just someone trying to, you know, probably got an unfair, you know, shot at women's wrestling back in the day. And at the end of the day, wants to make themselves, you know, recuperate some of the fact that they didn't get to go anywhere. Or maybe there's a lot of anger towards Moolah. I'm sure if I was a women's wrestler at that time, I wouldn't be happy. Why the fuck I got to go through Moolah? Why do I have to give her a third of everything I get? Why the fuck I got to do this? Why? I'm a great why do I need to do this? Well, that's just the facts. You don't like it? Don't wrestle. So you keep that bitterness 10, 20, 30 years. Now 40 years go by and you're not worth nothing. And then that person dies. It's very easy to say, oh, Moolah, you know, beat me up. Beat my family up. Threaten to kill my daughter. I'm exaggerating, but yeah, I look at the track record and I look at decades of what's been documented. And I'm not going to take one interview that's done 50 years later and then say, oh, my God. So, all right. Some of the stuff that Moolah did, I'm not denying it, but is a reason why she was very beloved in wrestling. It's a reason why she was on WWE. Look, nobody bitched in the 80s. Nobody bitched in the 90s. When her and Mae Young were on TV week after week, I did hotlines and early podcasts. There was no movement. All these people, you would think, the Monday Night Wars, you would think Fabulous Moolah, 70s, 80s, whatever she was at the time, that's the time where you're like, oh, fuck no. Oh, fuck no, not when WWF is having 8 ratings. Oh, fuck no, we're not. And everybody kept silent. Nobody said a goddamn thing about it. There was no movement, nothing. So, sorry. People are afraid to go up against Moolah. Based on what? Based on what? Based on what you and I think that they felt. But, yeah. Nope. Archie, what do I think of Kevin Nash doing his podcast tomorrow? Do I think he'll continue? Art, I don't know what it's like to lose, you know, somebody that close. My grandmother's closest that I have lost so far. Grandparents. Kevin Nash. whether, let me put it this way, whether he decides to do his podcast tomorrow or decides not to do his podcast tomorrow, whatever he decides, it's the right decision. If he decides he wants to do his podcast just to get his mind off of it, to talk about it, you know, there is nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. Hardest thing I ever had to do in my life so far is put my dog to sleep. And I did that on a Monday evening around 6:30 at night. And I did my podcast that night. I didn't tell anybody. The only person I knew was Kevin. Didn't tell anybody that show. After the show was over, then I revealed to everyone. And, you know, Kevin told me, take the night off. Take a week off. Take a month off. No. Let's do it. Just to get my mind off of it. Stay in the mode. Little bit of a escape. Sometimes that's better. My grandmother, when my grandmother died in 1991, before she was buried, I went to Atlantic City. Why? And I've told this story before, because I promised my grandmother the last 3 years that she was alive, I promised her that we were going to go to Atlantic City. Anthony, when are we going to Atlantic City? We'll go, Nanny. We'll go maybe in like 2-3 weeks. You know, I got to, yeah, you said that a month ago. When are we going to Atlantic City? Then she died. I went to Atlantic City and I came back with a $10 poker chip. And when we went to the wake the next day, I put it in her hand and I said, we went to Atlantic City. And I cried my eyes out. And I honestly felt that she was with me. I'm telling you, it's the weirdest feeling, but I honestly felt that she was with me. And, you know, whatever Kevin Nash decides to do, it's not the wrong decision. So I can't imagine what that must feel like, what he's going through right now. You know, if there was, you know, some previous issues, you know, and his son is out of his pain, whether physically or emotionally, I have no idea what happened, and it's none of my business what happened. But for Kevin Nash, you know, we don't know, you know, which way he goes. Whatever he does, it's the right decision. So, all right. Time flies when we're having fun. It's already been an hour. So let's start bringing this home, because tomorrow we got a big show. You know, Bayley taking on Bianca Belair in a rematch. Kind of feels forced, especially with Saudi Arabia coming up. Does Charlotte Flair make her return tomorrow? Just saying. I don't know. Just saying. Feels strange to have the rematch a week before, unless it ends up in a clusterfuck tomorrow. Then maybe it leads to Crown Jewel. So, all right. Why does someone have to be full-blooded Italian or Sicilian to be a made man in the mafia so you could trace back their ancestors, trace back their history, so you know everybody and everybody who is part of their family? It's like the ultimate background check. It's no bullshit. It's the ultimate background check. Yeah, that's the only way I could put it. I tell you, it's pretty wild. I look into my ancestors, even before the ones that came to America in the early 1900s. It's pretty wild what you learn. Believe it or not, I've never made this publicly. Maybe next week I'll show you in a screenshot. I just don't know how to do it because I don't want to reveal anybody's names. But, you know, you remember 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? Like, there's always a way to get somebody to Kevin Bacon in 6 levels or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Without getting into a whole deep situation, on my mom's side, we were trying to find one of my cousins. It's been missing for about 20 years. We think we found him. One of the ways that I did it was go on Ancestry. And I had already done Ancestry DNA, so I already had, you know, relatives and people I never even knew. So we went that route. We found, you know, old news things and this, you know, whatever. Anyway, long story short, when I started looking at my father's side and going back into the 1800s, when you look at people who are supposedly like six cousins or seven cousins, and you start going that far back, I started seeing the name San Martino. And then you look at their bios, and a few of them, it looks like it leads back to Bruno. So the weird thing is that I think on my dad's side, my grandmother, God rest her soul, she came from the same town as Bruno Sammartino. So I might be a distant relative to him. But it's pretty wild how some names, I guarantee you all, if you go do a deep dive on your ancestry, you go far back enough, you might come across someone that might be somewhat famous that you had no idea that you had some type of blood relation to. Even if it's a 10th cousin, you'd be surprised. Rob is asking, do I still have the Minority Report episode where I talked about Eddie's passing? Yeah, I still have it. Eddie Callers? I don't know if I have it in this computer. I don't know if I do, but what I'll do is I'll just type in the word Eddie, see if anything comes up. I probably don't. What's this Minority Report 2006? What is this? Something tells me this is copyright stuff. What is this?
You know, speaking of perverted people, I said this on the hotline a while back, you know, with all the Rocky movies out, I wish once they should have came out with a movie based on Paulie. You know, just call it Paulie. Like in Paulie's point of view, like when he was drunk and he was trying to, like, molest kids or trying to pick up hookers or, you know, trying to get the robot to jerk him off from Rocky III. You know, just like,
so, do you hear this?
Paulie. I think that'd be great. He'd be like a dirty old man. Come on.
No, wasn't there like an in-between Rocky movie that I never saw? That's Booker's fantasy.
I'm serious. Like the dirty old man, just Paulie. You know? Come on. You're like Rocky comes home and Paulie gets caught.
Right,
like...
right. I have no idea where this is going. I mean,
right, well...
like, I want to say a quick comment about Estelle. What the hell?
By the way, I think this is Thanksgiving 2006. I think. So, should I play a little more? I just randomly pulled this out. This is 17 years ago.
Oh, but ECW has no identity.
You see how bad ECW is, and we can't even talk about ECW.
Time has arrived. We are broadcasting Raw Live from my ass. Boom, boom! I'd rather watch two old women slap my ass. Woo! That's as tough as a chunk of my ass. Here comes the biggest ass.
Can never forget this one.
The big man is back. Jim Ross. 350 pounds. Say hello to my ass. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest spectacle on earth. My ass. 30 men will enter. My ass. You know what I mean.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, December the 25th. Merry Christmas. A Happy New Year to all you sons of bitches out there. You are listening to the most dysfunctional family on internet radio today, The Minority Report. I am Joey 924, Rebel Without a Pause. With me as always, is the one and the only.
What'd you do, Joseph and Tuppy? Anyway, you know, that was very disturbing with the King shirt of all. It brought their commentary to a new level.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. Little flashback impromptu. 17 years ago. Yeah. I know, I do miss it. I do miss it. It was pretty wild back then. Listen to the audio quality compared to now. It would kind of sound weird if we did a Minority Report episode. With everybody having good audio now? I think it would kind of... I don't know. If any of you... still talk to Joey or Black Moses, ask them. See if they want to come on. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'd have to probably kiss Joey's ass. Boom, boom. Wow, that brings back memories, the Jim Ross one. My ass. I don't think we could get hit with copyrights because that's somebody made that up. I don't remember who made that up, so. On Patreon, there's some lost episodes. There's some lost episodes on my website, dontony.com. There's quite a few Minority Report episodes. I still have my old catalog. I've been contemplating about putting like old years, putting on Patreon, obviously, because look, that Patreon, with all due respect, big props to everybody who's still part of it, but it's this compared to what it used to be. And, you know, even now, you know, you give like 4 ad-free shows every week, give 2 Patreon shows every week. They get 8 Patreon shows a month that are available pretty much there. Ad-free episodes, contest here and there. And still, for a lot of people, that's not even worth $2. So it gets to the point where you're like, look, you know, you give, and where do you draw the line? So I've been thinking about putting the archives back up. I was doing it about a year ago, but there wasn't much interest. There wasn't much interest at all. So I don't want to put it behind a paywall, to be honest with you. It's not about a paywall, but I always thought that maybe that's just a little extra, you know, for anybody who's there. So, all right. So let's start wrapping this up. We're at an hour and 11 minutes. We'll finish it up in like 15 minutes because I'm sure there's some serious questions you want to get into tonight. So remember, put question before your question. It just allows me to pick up on it quicker. That was pretty cool. Just randomly pulling in order. This is a new hard drive too, so I don't even know why that audio was in my computer. I honestly have no idea. I'm looking to see if there's anything else. I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff in here. Yeah, look, yeah. No, that's no good. We'll do that another day. Let's get into some questions now. I don't follow any Tupac conspiracy. Benjamin, do we need to be concerned about the Saudis being able to decide match outcomes and having Logan Paul beat Roman? No. Saudi Arabia is not going to tell WWE who wins title matches. They may want, you know, like Mansoor or Mustafa Ali, you know, being showcased. And I think that's, they don't even need to ask that. I think WWE does that out of respect. Now, Saudi Arabia is not going to dictate outcomes of very important matches that could change the, listen, if Logan Paul wins that fucking title, then I would revisit this question, but there's no chance Logan Paul's winning that title. There's no chance. Top 3 wrestlers from any company. See, that's really hard to like throw out there, spur of the moment. And when I talk about WWE, I break it up into WWF, even Attitude Era. You know, to me, it's 3 different eras. It's really 4 different eras. You know, 70s to mid 80s, it's kind of like one era for me. And then once it went WrestleMania is another era, then the Attitude Era, and then now. AEW, my 3 favorites are right now, MJF, Bryan Danielson, and tell you, it was Ricky Starks, but man, AEW is just, they can't keep any momentum with him. I like Powerhouse Hobbs too, and they're fucking, I don't get it. I look at some of those wrestlers, and I know they're getting paid very, very comfortably in AEW. I just can't picture, I'm just giving an opinion, I just can't picture a Ricky Starks or a Powerhouse Hobbs, and I could probably come up with 30 other names that they can't, there's no way they can't be thinking in the back of their mind that they could end up getting on Raw or SmackDown every goddamn week, maybe even having a WrestleMania match, you know, doing access events in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people combined. And, you know, instead, you know, oh, you get a Dark episode, you get a Rampage episode, you cut a promo 3 weeks in a row, you'll take a week off. I just can't picture that is enough for some wrestlers. For some wrestlers that don't want to work a full-time overtime schedule, for some that's enough. But there's too many wrestlers in AEW. I mean, look, Tony Khan ever happened to hear this, and I know he won't, but I'm going to say it anyway. Tony Khan, one thing he really needs to do, he really needs to sit back and try to think in the mind of a wrestler. Not a wrestler who twitches, games, stays home, part-time, doesn't do much indies, but does a little bit of wrestling and they're content. There are wrestlers that fit that mold. They're very happy, and that's fine with me. But he's got to sit back and think about a lot of people who are on their roster who don't work on TV every single week or even, you know, once a month. He's got to think in the back of his mind that those wrestlers did not train to get to the point now where they use once a month on national TV, you know, and an impromptu pay-per-view match that's set up a week or two before. I think he's got to understand, in my mind, I personally can't understand how a lot of those wrestlers would be content to be where they are now and say, yeah, that's good enough for me, man. That's good enough for me. You know, I can't picture how these people would not want to go to that next level. You know, it's not even roster being bloated anymore. Iman, it's not even about roster being bloated. You want to push someone in AEW, well, Daniel Garcia, Sammy Guevara, Wheeler Yuta, you know, for the Acclaim for a little while right now, Orange Cassidy, you know, there's enough. If Tony Khan wants to push you and the people in the back want to push you, they will. There's some wrestlers, when you can't figure out how to use them more than once a month, not counting Dark, Elevation, or promos, you know, that's bigger than just bloated roster. Yeah, they're pushing their, in a lot of cases, they're pushing their friends. Because Tony Khan doesn't want the burden and the responsibility of being this billion-dollar company out there. You know, as long as it's not bleeding, hemorrhaging money, this is more about like a enjoyment, fantasy, bucket list, you know, labor of love, lifelong wrestling fan. You know, there's an old saying, if you're having fun, it's not even work, you know. So I don't think AEW is trying to be the next billion-dollar company. I think as long as, you know, it's stable and it does enough and everybody's happy, that's good enough. It's almost like the wrestler I just said, a wrestler who twitches, stays home, doesn't work indies all that much, does a little bit of AEW, spends a lot of time in their private life, maybe not make the money that a lot of the head wrestlers make, but that's good enough for them. As long as they're comfortable, that's all that matters. That's what AEW is. AEW is that more of a part-time wrestler who doesn't break the bank, who doesn't work overtime, does just enough, keeps everything stable, pays the bills, good enough for me. That's what AEW is. Oh, believe me, I tell you, JD and I probably have a big difference of opinion there. So, GCW and WWE could very well possibly do something. That has always been rumored. It's not out of the question. GCW is in no way a threat to WWE at all. You could see a possibility of somebody, maybe even someone being not swapped, but someone going to GCW, do a little bit of work just to get a little bit extra in there. So not everybody could go to NXT. I'm not the biggest fan of GCW, but I like enough that I want to see them do well. They could get the Evolve treatment. Not on that level, though. Not on that level. Nowhere near that level. They don't have a Gabe Sapolsky. And as much as I used to criticize Gabe, I don't criticize Gabe anymore. That's over and done with. GCW does not have a Gabe Sapolsky. If they did, then I could see that. So, Mount Rushmore of singers chaos? Man, I can't answer that. Because I would put, you know, pop music different than rock music. You know, for me, my favorites, like in like groups, rock bands, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Pink Floyd. Oh, Queen would be on there. Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin. Man, fucking Sammy Hagar. That motherfucker didn't go to Van Halen in '85. Van Halen would be on my list also. Van Halen, you don't have any idea how much this Guido loved Van Halen in 1984. Oh, my God. You imagine if that music video, Hot for Teacher, came out in 2022? Any of you out there has never seen the music video, Hot for Teacher, just go watch it. Just imagine that coming out in 2022. See what happens. So, you know, back in the day, I was a gigantic fan of Prince. Prince was always number one in my book. I loved Prince back in the late 70s, way before Purple Rain. He started changing his shit into cymbals and stuff like that. I'm like, eh. We were just talking on a Patreon episode where it was the anniversary of his album in 92. I think Diamonds and Pearls were on there. And there was a song on that album that I had not heard in 30 years. It's Sexy MF. I don't know if any of you have ever watched that. You watch that, it gives you Vanilla Ice vibes. Like, I legitimately never in a million years would I ever think that I would want to just punch Prince across the side of the head. He tries to come off as gangster in there, and he looks like a goof. So I was a big fan of Rick James back then. It was very, very hard to sing along with the song 17. She was only 17, but she was young, fly, and oh so tender. How do you sing that? Especially when you're my age. Rick James was good. Mary Jane. He produced what? All Night Long with the Mary Jane Girls? I think he did. Rick James was gangster, man. Seriously, if this is true. It's true. I don't care who I piss off. God told me right now, Don Tony, you're going to die tomorrow and you're going to be reincarnated as a black man. You got two choices. It would be either Rick James or it would be the Duke of New York from Escape from New York, the one that did Shaft. What's his name? Isaac Hayes. Honestly, I want to die and come back as Isaac Hayes. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I would buy that caddy. I used to have a 78 caddy. I would put the chandeliers on the car and drive down the street. I would record it just for a TikTok video. I was a huge fan of Isaac Hayes, man. Rick James did too much drugs, though. Remember Dave Chappelle who used to imitate Rick James all the time? I think it was Dave Chappelle. That made me laugh when he was doing Rick James skits. But all right, you know that the show is almost over when we're talking about Rick James and Isaac Hayes. Yeah, Controversy is one of my favorite Prince songs of all time. Definitely in my top five. I was banging that song when it came out, I think in 1981. Prince Controversy. That was awesome. Read the lyrics to that song. The lyrics are pretty deep as well. Oh, yeah, Halloween is coming up. Halloween's next Monday. Wow. Next Monday's Halloween. Next Thursday's JD from New York. And then 3 weeks after, I'm going away on vacation. I will be away for Thanksgiving weekend. So just mark it down. No Wednesday night Dynamite. No Don Tony show. I guess we're only going to miss two shows then. I'll be back Sunday, so probably would do a sit-down at that time. Danny is asking, has a wrestler ever gave me an attitude? That's a pretty fucking good question. All your questions are good, but so that really makes me think. A wrestler, Shawn the Mick was the biggest asshole towards me, but I got to be honest with you. You know, there was an indie guy that died that was over 400 pounds that became obsessed with me. He was bi. Some of you know who he is. He lived in Jersey, moved to the South, came back, died several years ago. He was married. And I talked about an old Minority Report episodes. The guy was calling me 20 times a day, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, sending me free shit. I think looking back on it, somebody said it to me a couple of weeks ago. And I said, you know, you may be right. He might've been the one that sent me drugs that time in a card because he knew my address. It might've been him. Other than that, no one in the professional world of wrestling has ever shown me an attitude. The more I think about it, and I've met an insane amount of people over the years. No, I can't think of anybody. I can't think of anybody. Even the XPW days, like everybody was beyond friendly. You know, when I told the stories about Danny Doring and the Mexicans and, you know, just the stuff with Shane Douglas, the wall. I mean, everybody was beyond friendly. I honestly can't think of one person. I can't, even when I caused the incident in the hotel when XPW got banned from going to the hotel by the ECW arena. You know, Chris Kloss, I think he does commentary. Doesn't he do play-by-play now for the current XPW stuff as well? He let me sleep in his hotel room that night. It's a true story. If any of you, I'm sure he'll remember. The first time XPW came to the ECW arena, I had an incident with a hotel guy. Now, I'm not going to repeat what I said, but it was so bad that the hotel informed XPW the next day, you're not welcome here anymore. And I got fired from the stuff I was doing, and then I had to kiss slash his ass, and then I was able to come back. But that night, when I had no place to sleep, Chris Kloss took out a fold-out bed and said, you could sleep in my room. 100% true. And he's alive. When I tell you stories, usually the people are alive, so you could verify it. Any of you out there, have you ever talked to them? Ask them. Say, do you remember an incident when XPW came to 2002 that some guy caused a bunch of trouble in the hotel, XPW's banned from the hotel, and you let him sleep in your room that night? True story. Bully Ray, believe it or not, Bully Ray was a jerk to me online, but that was because of what I was saying on my podcast. And looking back on it, I don't blame him. I know that sounds soft. I don't blame him because that guy was sticking up for his company and I was over the top with, you know, my stuff. And I kind of deserved it, to be honest with you. I deserved it, you know. Bully Ray might have been the close one, but I deserved that. I deserved it, so. Yeah, there's no one else that I have had issues with. Everybody was beyond friendly, you know. Everybody was friendly. The only other one, and I've told this story before, I've never released the audio. I still have the audio, though. I'll tell you a quick story. You'll get a kick out of this. Anybody remember Chaos in XPW? He did Wrestling Society X. He actually did like a WWE match or two on TV. Had the blonde hair. Chaos. You remember K-A-K-H-A-O-S, Chaos? I think he has a wrestling school in California right now. He's a cousin of Supreme, God rest his soul. Back in 2002, I don't do interviews. Back in 2002, I interviewed Chaos. I think I might have told this story once before, but I interviewed Chaos for an upcoming XPW show. And he was in California, and I was talking to him. And we got on the subject of Shawn Michaels. I don't remember what was said, but I think he was, you know, like he really was like, you know, like somebody might have been instrumental to him or a mentor, Shawn Michaels, whatever it was. We started talking about Shawn Michaels, and I went off the rails and started talking only about Shawn Michaels. And the next thing you know, click, call got disconnected. And then I called him back, and he's like, yeah, I'm going through a tunnel right now. We're going to have to do this another time. And then I listened to it back, and I'm like, oh, this is beyond awful. I never made it public. I still have the audio. I never made it public. It is the cringe de la cringe. And I just went off the rails. You would have thought that this was a tribute to Shawn Michaels. You would have thought Shawn Michaels died and we were doing a tribute episode for him. So, all right. Charlie, I just told the whole story about the XPW stuff. I just told the story. There's nothing else to add to it. I caused a problem. They got banned. You know, I got fired, even though I never really had, you know, wasn't under any type of deal or anything like that. But it was still fucked up. So, all right, everyone, it's time for me to go. We did 90 minutes. I think we had some fun conversation. We had some interesting topics, some deep topics. But great as always. No, I won't be watching Halloween Ends. Tim, I don't know if you checked out the other episodes. I am not a fan of Michael Myers in 2022. I'm not a fan of Laurie Strode or even Chucky in 2022. If I was forced to watch one of the three, I would watch Chucky. But I just, you know, there's one thing when you watch a cartoon that could be on for 40 years and the cartoons never age, The Simpsons, whatever. But when you see Michael Myers and Laurie Strode still trying to kill each other 43 years later, you know, it's like you both don't know how to fucking do it. That's epic fail. Like, how do you not take the... Like I said last week, if I go to Spanish Harlem, I go to Corona, Queens right now, I guarantee I could find a couple of people on 108th Street and Roosevelt Avenue, and they would go down to Haddonfield to take out Michael Myers like this. Or they would do very bad things to Laurie Strode. She'd never be seen again. And 43 years later, I'm supposed to, like, buy into that they're still trying to take each other out? Yeah, I don't care how good it is. To me, it's like futility. It's almost like, it feels like Halloween has been in a coma for 20 years. And, you know, they're finding a creative way to finally pull a plug. All right. If you are around Monday night, 11:05 p.m. Eastern, I will be here for your Raw post show. We will definitely talk about Raw. We will talk about SmackDown ratings, Rampage ratings, anything that further develops with the Bray Wyatt stuff. I know that they're going to recap some of the Bray stuff tomorrow on Raw, so you will see that. Funny thing is, when you watch SmackDown, when you watch Raw tomorrow, you're going to see like what aired on Raw is the same thing that aired on SmackDown with Bray Wyatt. And again, you know, like people, you know, trying to play it off that Bray Wyatt is going to be live every week. You know, it's not happening. And we still don't know if he's going to do anything at Crown Jewel. You know, I don't know. Right? I know Crown Jewel, they wanted him. What's he going to do? Cut a promo? I don't think that's the right audience to do it for. So, all right, everyone. If you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that thumbs up. It really does help more than you know. It takes a couple of seconds. If you know anyone who would like the channel, if they don't access through Blue Wire or Pro Wrestling TV already, let them know about it. And maybe I'll see you tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. Be well, everyone. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.